I was beginning to feel a little conspicuous, and I could see I'd get nothing more out of Lodagear. So I turned and accompanied him to the head of the Orb 4 shaft.
"I see we have some big-time Prokians,"
Jessery said, nodding at Lodagear and his two companions. "Yeah," I said, and did a double take. I had just realized that Lodagear's companions were both Thousanders.
"They should be in their element,"
Jessery continued. "Politics and diplomacy?"
"No doubt," I said. "And they'll come in handy if we need to change the past."
"More than they've already changed it, you mean?" I returned, which I figured I could get away with, since it would sound like routine Prokian bashing. "But seriously, Fra Lodagear has paid close attention to the story of Fra Jad and has all sorts of profound thoughts about what it means."
"I will so look forward to hearing them,"
Jessery deadpanned.
"Does he have any practical suggestions as well?"
"Somehow we didn't get around to that," I said.
"Hmm. So does that mean it's our department?"
"That's what I'm afraid of." The trip down to Orb 4 took a while because of the safety regulations.
"I wouldn't have thought it possible,"
said Arcibald's voice somewhere on the other side of my blindfold as we descended.
"But this is already banal."
"What? Your feet in my face?" For he kept wanting to descend too fast and was always threatening to step on my hands.
"No, our interactions with the geometers."
I descended a few more rungs in silence, thinking about it. I knew better than to argue. Instead, I compiled a mental list of all that I'd seen on the Dabin Urnud that had struck me as, to use Arcibald's word, banal. The red emergency button on the observatory hatch, the bowel-warming machine, paperwork at the hospital, the Lateran man washing his dishes, smudgy handprints on ladder rungs. "Yeah," I said. "If it weren't for the fact that we can't eat the food, it would be no more exotic than visiting a foreign country on Arb."
"Less so," Arcibald said. "A foreign country on Arb might be pre-praxic in some way, with a strange religion or ethnic customs, but..."
"But this place has been sterilized of all that. It's a technocracy."
"Exactly. And the more technocratic it becomes, the more closely it converges on what we are."
"It's true," I said.
"When do we get to the good part?"
he demanded. "What do you have in mind, Arcibald? Like in a spec fix spiele where something amazingly cool to look at happens?"
"That would help,"
he allowed. We descended a few more rungs in silence. Then he added in a more moderate tone,
"It's just that I want to say, all right already, I get it. The Hylian flow brings about convergent development of consciousness-bearing systems across world tracks, but where is the payoff? There's got to be more to it than this big ship roaming from cosmos to cosmos, collecting sample populations and embalming them in steel spheres."
"Maybe they share some of your feelings," I suggested. "They have been doing it for 1,000 years. A lot more time to get sick of it than you've had. You only woke up a couple of hours ago."
"Well, that is a good point," Arcibald said. "But Raz, I am apprehensive that they're not sick of it. They've turned it into a sort of religious quest. They come here with unrealistic expectations."
"Shh," Jessery exclaimed. He was just below me. He continued, in a voice that could have been heard in all 12 orbs,
"Arcibald, if you keep running your mouth this way, Fra Lodagear will have to erase everyone's memory."
"Memory of what?"
Leo said.
"I don't remember anything."
"Then it is not because of any rhetor sorcery," called out Fra Lodagear, "but because failed attempts at wit fade so quickly from the memory."
"What are you people talking about?"
demanded Yule and Fluckish.
"You're spooking the superstars."
"We're talking about what it all means," I said. "Why we're the same as them."
"Maybe they are weirder than you think,"
Yule suggested. "Until they let us visit Orb 1, we'll never know."
"So go to Orb 1,
Yule said.
"He's already been there,"
Jessery cracked. We reached the bottom and climbed down an airlock shaft, just like the others, and found ourselves looking straight down on the houseboat mat of Orb 4. This had an elliptical pool of open water in the middle, a touch of luxury we hadn't seen in any of the Lateran orbs. Perhaps the Urnudans had agriculture even more productive than the others. and could afford to waste a bit of space on decoration. The pool was surrounded by a plaza, much of which was now covered with tables.
"It is a center for the holding of meetings," Jules explained.
My mind went straight back to Archibald's complaints about the banality. The aliens have conference centers. They had welded stairs to their sky and painted them blue. We clanked down them, getting heavier as we went. The architecture of the houseboats below was not markedly different from what we had seen in the Lateran orbs. There were only so many ways to build a flat-roofed structure that could float. Many of the decorative flourishes that might distinguish one style of architecture from another were buried under cataracts of fruit-bearing vines and layered canopies of orchard trees. Our path across the houseboat complex was a narrow but straight and unmistakable boulevard to the elliptical pool. Here, we did not ramble from one terrace to the next. Still, we did encounter the occasional Ernudan pedestrian, and as I looked at their faces, I tried to resist the temptation to perceive them as mere rough drafts of superior beings from higher up the wick. As we drew near and passed them by, they averted their gaze, got out of our way, and stood patiently, in what looked to me like submissive postures. "How much of what we're seeing is native Ernudan culture?" I wondered out loud to Leo, who had fallen in step next to me. "And how much is a consequence of living on a military spaceship for 1,000 years?
"Same difference, maybe," Leo pointed out. "Since only the Ernudans built ships like this in the first place,